welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture found in John chapter 10, verse 7. Before we start, I just want to say, be praying as a church about the healing power of God moving at Door of Life Christian Church. There's going to be just, I sense, a strong move of healing. Okay, that's something that God is just, you know, we're here, we're pioneering a lot of different things. I know charismatic gifts of the Spirit, whatnot, but there's timings. You know, it's like a builder stages a building project, and there's a lot of foundational stuff that's already been laid in the Word, and there's just kind of getting some "it is time" things and some areas to really begin to see the power of God begin to move and people begin to experience the healing power of God. Because the healing power of God, it's not just a theological thing that we fuss about over different camps, whether it's today or not for today. The healing power of God is for the same reason it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed. Jesus wasn't healing to show off. Jesus healed broken bodies because he loved people. And he wanted to bring relief from pain. In fact, when they tried to make it about him showing off, he never did it. They'd say, okay, what miracle can you do to prove? He never said, okay, give me your sickest person, I'll show you. He never did that. I mean, he missed some great opportunities if his healing was just about to show off his power. He really didn't. He loved people, cares for them. And I know we've got the questions about the whys and wherefores, and do I have questions and different things? Certainly. But I'll tell you one thing. I will not back off from what I know the will of God is, and that is his will to heal. His will to heal. You know, I've got tremendous testimonies of God healing me, healing people I know and love, according to the Word of God. And do I have some questions about some things that didn't work out the way I thought they could, would, should? Sure, I've got some over here too. And a lot of times when that happens, people are kind of stuck in the middle. I'll tell you what. By his stripes, you were healed. And healing belongs to you. And that is a word that's going to resonate. And that is a truth that is going to get more real and real and real, I believe. Because when you realize it, healing is just another way that you resist the devil. Could you imagine if there was no healing power in the earth today? That we had nothing to, you know, you just had to, there was nothing that you could put your faith in. We were stuck. No, there is a healer. His name is Jesus. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. That's a promise for the church. And I'm telling you what, I just believe and see in my spirit that we're going to walk in another level and realm of divine healing. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I've found, too, in my life that the people who walk in divine healing aren't, it's not a matter of having all the questions answered, you know, about why so-and-so didn't get healed and da-da-da-da-da. It's really just, you know, coming in your own heart and your own mind to the fact and the realization that he's my healer and that by his stripes I was healed, included me in the same way my sin was on that cross. Those stripes were for my healing as well, too. Now, I'll say this too, there's no condemnation. If you don't get healed, you don't receive your healing, somebody dies, somebody passes on, I've got that situation too with my own loved ones and family. I get that, I know it. There's no condemnation there, all right? This isn't about salvation or anything. This is just about a benefit and a blessing that belongs to you. but I don't have to back off from something that I know belongs to me. And again, I just really want this to see it. This is part of your Christmas gift that came in Christ, was healing for your physical body. Praise God. So be encouraged and be praying about that. That when we walk into this church on a Sunday morning, the atmosphere is charged with faith for healing and to receive healing. Think about that. Jesus Christ himself, he goes into his own hometown and he could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. The Son of God, God manifested in the flesh, walks into his own hometown and he can't do mighty works because that atmosphere was charged with offense and critical and unbelief. And he could there do no mighty works. Do you know that same atmosphere can creep into our church when we get into some of these questions over here? There can be a jadedness and it can charge an atmosphere. And pretty soon there's no place for the healing power of God to work. The healing power of God wants to flow powerfully in the earth. He wants to flow powerfully. He doesn't just want to get the church healed. He wants unbelievers to experience the healing power of God. He wants them to know that there is a God who understands them and is with them and is for them. So, praise God. I didn't mean to say any of that, but it may be, you know, where God has us going here, you know, in the months and years to come. I don't know, but I know that his heart and his... Is there anything quite like, you know, receiving healing? Annie was just sharing with me this morning. She received her healing. Praise God. Annie Peterson, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. You standing in faith and you receive your healing. Praise God. You're so thankful. You're so thankful for just that word of healing, that it's there, that it belongs to us. So, praise God. Well, this morning we're gonna start with a passage of Scripture in John 10. Jesus said to them again, "And most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." That verse 10 in the Amplified and New Living says it this way: "The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." New Living: "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." The thing that I love so much about this passage of Scripture is that Jesus makes a distinction that there are two purposes, there are two agendas in the earth. There's the agenda of the thief, and then there's his agenda. His agenda, the Lord Jesus Christ's agenda. Why did he come? That we may have and enjoy life, that we may have an eternal life. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. Do you know, this is not the same person with two purposes. These are two very separate opposing beings. Some people say all things happen for a reason. Yeah, and all the things that happen that pertain to life, the reason is Jesus. And the reason for the things that steal, kill, and destroy, go back to the thief. The Bible says you have an adversary who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. His name is not Jesus. It's the devil, Satan. There's an opposing force. And it's so important to keep those two separate. To not get have mystique about Satan as really being God. No, Satan wants to be God. He loves to be recognized as God. He would love for his work to be called God. He loves it. That's what he's wanted from the beginning. I'll make my throne like the throne on high. I'm going to exalt my throne. God cast him out of heaven. Said, no, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life. It's a very important distinction. Because really, and we know this, I mean, really, we've experienced it. We know where we've got the pull of the enemy and we've got the pull of the Lord for life. The pull of the enemy is selfishness and death, and we're in the middle and we've got to choose which one we want. And I've looked at this scripture in a lot of different contexts and whatnot, but I've recently kind of looked at this scripture in the context of Christmas. And just kind of thought about this scripture in the context of Christmas. And I've been able to think, you know, I've had some amazing Christmases that have been absolutely full of life. Where it almost seems like it's those Christmases that you just take time to on purpose, almost savor the season. And just really enjoy your family, maybe some family traditions. Just really stop and remember what Jesus did for me, that he came as that child in a manger for me, that first Christmas gift, taking in all the lights, the carols, the cookies, every little thing involved in Christmas. I've had just some amazing Christmases where when Christmas was done, it was like, wow, thank you, Lord. I had Christmas this year. A blessing. A life Christmas. But then I've had other Christmases too where it really hasn't been that way, where it's almost kind of come and gone, and I wonder, whoa, it was here and it was gone, and I feel like almost like I missed it. Typical stuff. You're trying to plan and get ready and prepare, and you've got all the I's to dot and T's to cross and all the lists that you're trying to get through. And it's the season gets busy and hurried up and, you know, trying to figure out presents and buying presents and the financial side and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, you know, we hear this year after year, but you can kind of get caught up in it. And then pretty soon, you know, all the things that you meant to do and you really planned it, you never quite got done, and Christmas is almost like it passed you by. And, you know, and you know, if you're, especially if you're you know, you guys, Packer fans, this time of year, you're also having to keep track of what the Packers need to do to make the playoffs this time of year. This team needs to lose, and these teams need to win, and, you know, all that. It's, it makes, see, and that's really a perk of being a Miami Dolphin fan. Because by the first week of December, you're mathematically out of it. And you can just enjoy Christmas, you know. So, you know, God's ways are mysterious, huh? All right. But I was just kind of looking, you know. I don't know what, you know. I was kind of thinking about just even as I was preparing and looking at my week ahead and stuff that we have to do and things that we have in the calendar. I could already feel December 3rd. We're at right now. You can already start to feel that. That quick slide. I'm already beginning to feel like things are starting to blur a little bit. You know what I mean? And so I feel like I'm having to take hold of myself. Okay, I want this year to be one of those really good Christmases that I savor and enjoy. Okay? And so kind of that being said, I've just kind of felt compelled to minister along this line. Don't let the Grinch steal your Christmas. All right? Don't let the Grinch steal your Christmas. We kind of know that old Dr. Seuss story, how the Grinch stole Christmas. And, you know, let me kind of say this too, kind of heading into it. I mean, I know that we as Christians, as believers, we know that we celebrate Jesus all year long, all right? For us, it's not just a commercialized season where people are capitalizing on the economy of Christmas. We know we get it. I mean, every time we take communion, we're celebrating the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We understand that. And so we know this is a year-round celebration for us. But at the same time, this season, this Christmas season, is something that I have done right and I've done wrong. I know what it's like to really enjoy. And I know what it's like again to where it's kind of almost passed me by. And so this morning, I want us to look at some things, and I kind of titled it this way: Don't Let the Grinch Steal Your Christmas. Because when we're talking about the Grinch, you know, we know that story where he was trying to take away all their stuff and hoping that it will take away their purpose and their sense of Christmas. But as we're talking about the Grinch who stole, not stealing your Christmas, there are things that will steal your Christmas. And understand my context. I get it. I know it. I understand that Jesus died for my sins. When I'm saying he steal your Christmas, he'll steal your sense of appreciation and enjoyment of this season. Okay? So what are we talking about? First of all, make Christmas about your Savior and not your sin. Okay? There are things that can steal your Christmas this time of year. We can feel guilty a lot of times about things that we're getting ready to repent of in the first of the year when we make our New Year's resolutions. All right? But in the meantime, there are things that we need to realize that, man, I don't have to live on top of. We were, you know, if you listen to the songs this morning, it's pretty much the outline for the message. But basically, what are we talking about? Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Praise God. I love that personalization. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This season is about your Savior. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So this is ultimately about Jesus. This is ultimately about our Savior. Praise God. And again, what I want to say again, because this time of year too, things can happen to where we're kind of getting focused on our failure, our sins, our missing it, occasions for guilt and things like that. This season, this time of the year needs to be the reminder to us that gift, that debt, that was answered, it was paid for in Jesus. And one more scripture along these lines: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." What is a Grinch that can steal Christmas? The Grinch of condemnation, that'll steal that sense of forgiveness, that'll steal that sense of, wow, everything that I ever did wrong was paid for in Christ. Now, again, kind of going back to our little story, the Grinch. I don't know if many of you have seen it or are familiar with it, but you know, there was a sense that, man, if I could just, you know, the thing that really bothered the Grinch was the excitement and the joy. If you kind of look at that, there's this anticipation of gifts, this excitement of being together, of hanging out. He just wanted the joy and the loudness of the joy to go away. He wanted there to be a quiet sorrow and a disappointment. And there was some gratification that he took from that. So what did he do? He dressed up as a Santa Claus, you know, a fake Santa Claus,
and went out and took all their presents and their decorations and all that different kind of stuff. And he was fully expecting that if he could just hurt these people, if he could do something. And we have an enemy who goes out of his, about as a roaring lion, and it seems this time of year, there's things that'll happen that'll come up. And the thing is, if I can just get something to not line up, I'm going to ruin their Christmas. You know, I'm going to try to ruin their Christmas. And that's basically what he did, the story of the Grinch. And so he did, took all their stuff, took it all away, and he's getting ready to hear the crying and the weeping and the wailing. And instead, he hears that little who song, little fa, wahoo, fahoo, whatever song that they're singing. They're all standing around just singing joyful. No presents, no gifts, no decorations, no nothing. There's just the joy, and they're all enjoying each other and enjoying that spirit of Christmas. And of course, the Grinch gets the revelation, wow, what if Christmas doesn't come from a store? You know, what if it's bigger than all that? What if there is something about that, you know, and of course, as the story goes, his heart gets big and he goes and returns everything and you know, has a happy ending. But the Grinch here that tries to steal your Christmas, he'll try to steal it through condemnation. Regret. I don't know why, but this time of year can be a time for regret. It can be a time of looking back. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. No, not this year. Not in 2017. This is a year that I remember that he will save his people from their sins. His name is Jesus. And there are no sins, there's no regrets, there's nothing that I have this time of year that was not bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's this time of year that I'm going to remember that. I'm going to let that gift minister to me. In other words, this is a, for God did not send his world to condemn the world, but the world through him will be saved. This is a no condemnation Christmas this year. Why? Because Jesus did it, because of the gift. That's the message of Christmas. It's the gift of Christmas. It's the echoing of the appreciation and the joy and the thanksgiving that Jesus did it. He paid for my sin. No regrets. I love the old Christmas carol that we sing each year, which I think is, maybe this is our little who song as a church, but it goes like this. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. That's what we're doing this morning. We're preparing the grace and the mercy room in our heart. Let heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The Grinch that tries to steal Christmas tries to steal that joy. And I'm telling you what, this morning, and this is really kind of what we did during communion, we just remembered that, praise God, my sins are forgiven, they're washed, they're cleansed. No regrets, no condemnation. I will on purpose declare the grace and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save his people from their sins, and he did it. He saved me from my sins. He saved you from your sins. And this season is about celebrating that. Am I perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. This isn't about our personal consecration perfection here. This is about the gift that he gave us in the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. It's what we come to celebrate. Praise God. And don't lose that. Don't let the Grinch of condemnation come and put you in a place where you just can't appreciate the mercy and the grace of God. That's the purpose of Christmas, was to cleanse us and forgive us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. We're celebrating the forgiveness of our sins. We're celebrating that in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, I'm so glad, so thankful. As I look back and I just think of, wow, have you ever just stopped to think of all the sin that God has forgiven you of in your life? Yeah, I can chuckle right along with you. Isn't it amazing, the grace and the forgiveness that God has extended to you? Do you know why he did that? Because he so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. And when we see the manger scenes, we see the nativity sets, we see the children's plays, we see all those reminders of that day and that Christmas Eve, we think of that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness for us. Remind yourself of that this Christmas season. Remind yourself and declare it. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And that's kind of the essence of what I'm trying to say this morning. Prepare him room. Prepare him room. You know, the part of the Christmas story, when Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the inn. And that's kind of what that song is poetically saying. Is there room for him in the inn this Christmas season? Our hearts can get full of stuff, full of things to do, full of appointments, full of schedules. Prepare your heart. That's a very on-purpose thing. Lord, I am preparing my heart to on-purpose thank you, acknowledge, and just receive and celebrate the forgiveness of my sin this holiday season, this Christmas season. As I'm looking at everything Christmas, it is declaring the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God. No condemnation Christmas. No condemnation. He's come to remove far as the curse is found. Praise God. Well, the other thing too is, not only is it not about that, make Christmas about his peace, not your anxiety. Let's see here. Oops. Luke chapter 2, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I love that. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It was a greeting of goodwill and peace toward men. Also, Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, and his peace, there will be no end. This is such a powerful part. We were talking last week about unwrapping the first Christmas gift. This is another thing you unwrap in that gift. He's the Prince of Peace. There is a peace in Jesus that you can't get anywhere else. This is really the answer, you know, to the heart cry of man. The world has its escapes, but God has a peace. Philippians puts it this way, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I so love that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And this is just one of those things that we know theologically, but this is how the Prince of Peace manifests himself during our Christmas season. There's a lot of things that'll come up in our mind. And when we can just begin to say, Lord, I just acknowledge you with that. I just acknowledge, help me with that. Help me with this situation. Help me with that relationship situation. Help me with that financial situation. You don't have to have it solved. You don't have to figure it out. You don't even need a 12, 15-step program or anything like that. You just acknowledge him. Supplicate. Just begin to do that during this Christmas season. And there's a peace of God which surpasses all understanding that will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, you know, a lot of times we'll say Jesus is the reason for the season, and keep Christ in Christmas, and keep Jesus the center and the focus of the Christmas season. And I'm telling you what, so much of that, of keeping Jesus the center and the focus, is just realizing that He is there with peace. He is there with peace to help you, to strengthen you. I love the peace that passes your understanding. And so, let me just see here. There's a certain... And so this Christmas season, as we're talking about just making Christmas about His peace and not your anxiety, you'll see the follow-through in verse 8. Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. What is this talking about? There is a choice that we have to make this time of year where you can see the holiday festiveness going on. You can hear the carolers. You can see the Christmas season going on around you, and you've got a choice. Am I going to engage, or am I going to withdraw? Am I going to enjoy this Christmas season, or am I going to isolate this Christmas season? And a lot of that has to do with the peace that we're going to have. Look at verse 8. Those things, when we're engaging in the carols and we're engaging in just the fellowship and enjoying each other's presence and things like that, that is such a big part of enjoying the peace of Christmas. Making it about His peace and not about my to-do list and everything that I've got to get figured out. One of the great ways, and it's kind of built into Christmas, you know, one of the things that I struggle with as a pastor, and one of the things that I struggled with before I was a pastor, is when I would sit into church every Sunday, every Christmas season, and I'd hear the pastor talk about the commercialization of Christmas. The commercialization of Christmas. And yeah, I know, I see it, I get it. There's a lot of commercialization going on. But there's a lot of good things in this. The Christmas caroling, praise God for it. I love it when I can go into a secular store and hear people singing through the intercom, "Oh, come let us adore Him," when I can't the other times of the year. And yes, I know there's business motivation and things going on, but praise God for that. I'm just going to enjoy that and just say, yes, let heaven and nature sing. Engage it and enjoy. Have a lot of private little moments this year of enjoying the Christmas season. Of just enjoying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every little thing that you see, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for that little display. Thank you for that acknowledgement of Jesus. There's a choice that we have. The Grinch that can steal our Christmas is a very spiritual Grinch sometimes. Just enjoy the simplicity of this season. Every acknowledgement of Jesus and His love and His mercy and His grace, just engage and enjoy. I'm going to say I'm savoring the season. Like I said, I've done this right and I've done it wrong. And when I do it right, I just enjoy it. I just enjoy the little stuff. I enjoy the little things that are going on around me. This is a great time to fill our houses with Christmas music and Christmas songs. Think, well, I've done this year after year. Yeah, let's do it this year, though. Let's not forget to do it this year. And let's remember the joy and the grace of God. I'll tell you, there's just little internal decisions that we make. Making Christmas about His peace and not your anxiety. This is something that Jesus said. He said, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard Me say to you, I'm going away and coming back. If you love Me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to My Father, for My Father is greater than I." But you'll notice His exhortation, "My peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You can see that with His peace, there's a choice to let it be troubled or let it be afraid. This is where it's going to be about His peace and not anxiety. There is just going to be some decisions. Lord, I just choose peace. I choose grace. I choose simplicity. I'm not a complicated person. I'm a real simple person. And I just really enjoy the simple message of this season. I enjoy His love for me. I remember one of our Bible school teachers saying, man, there was this one guy one day, he said he was just so happy. He was just so thrilled, just walking down the street, just taking in the blue of the sky and hearing the birds sing. And he said, one of the worst things that could have happened to him happened to him. He ran into a preacher. And the preacher said, what are you smiling about? Oh, it's a beautiful day, just enjoying everything that's going on in God's creation. He said, what are you thinking? What about people? What about the people that are starving across the world? Have you thought about them today? What about the people that don't know Jesus? Are you thinking about them today? He's going, oh, wow. I don't know. I don't think I was. He said, that's the problem with the world today. People are too into their own deal. They don't care about what's going on. He said, man, he went to his pastor. He said, man, I really felt bad. Is that right? Because he encouraged him. He said, no, it's good. It's good for you to enjoy your day. Enjoy your life. You know, people enjoying the season doesn't mean you're turning a blind eye to things that are going on. Man, you love people. You're praying for people. You're taking care of people. But you're not called to take the weight of the whole world on your shoulders. The body of Christ is one body of many members. You're doing what God's called you to do, but you're enjoying the season. Just enjoy the simplicity of the season. Don't over-spiritualize it. Don't get heavied out. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. His peace is going to increase and increase and increase. This is a no condemnation Christmas for me, and it's a peaceful Christmas for me. Praise God. Just going to enjoy a lot of beautiful public moments, but a lot of beautiful private moments of saying thank you to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's beautiful. Praise God. I'm just going to take it in on purpose. I'm going to take it in. I'm a simple person, and I just enjoy the simple love and the simple truth of Christmas. Finally, make Christmas about his presence and your hope. Boy, if there's some things that people feel this time of year, there's a lot of hurt and a lot of family stuff and a lot of things that people are going through. And boy, if there's ever something to make Christmas about, it's making about his presence and your hope. Again, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled. We were singing about it this morning, which was spoken to the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated is God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. He is Emmanuel. And that's another thing about making this Christmas about Emmanuel. God with us. Another powerful scripture along these lines. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Amplified, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. Christmas is about Emmanuel, God with us. It's about his presence on earth. It's about his presence in our heart. One of the things that really blessed me, and this was a couple weeks back when I was preparing for a completely different message about how to forgive yourself. There was several interviews I listened to with Stephen Curtis Chapman, and they were Stephen Curtis Chapman is a famous gospel musician, but they had lost their little girl, their little 7-year-old girl, in a horrible accident. Where their son, Will, had accidentally hit her with their vehicle. And just one of those big, heartbreaking, tragic losses. But an interviewer in one of the interviews I watched asked one of the most profound questions I've ever heard asked in an interview. And he asked Stephen Curtis this. He said, You know, when you're in that situation, there's a lot of people coming up to you with a lot of their advice and their encouragement and their words of wisdom and their scripture verses and all these different things. And Stephen was just reflecting back, you know, at the actual funeral service and different things that they had to go through and stuff like that. But the interviewer asked him this. He said, of all those people who came up to you and said stuff to you, he said, which of those people or what thing was it that was said that was the most comforting, really genuinely comforting to you, that really truly ministered to you? I thought, wow, that is a great question. What a great question. And Stephen, he just said, so without hesitation, he said it was in the people who came up and said, ah, there's no words. Just know we love you and we are with you. He said, for them, it gave him the freedom to grieve. And he said, so many times when you're in that position, you feel like you're having to minister to the other people because they're already feeling awkward and not knowing what to say. And so you're not having to try to comfort them. It's just, what was he? He said, it was just presence. It was just the ministry of presence that was the best, most comforting thing that people would say when they wouldn't try to theologically solve anything, but just, we're here, we love you, we're with you. He said that was just the most amazing thing in the world. It was just comforting, just the comfort of presence. This time of year, there's a lot of stuff where we've lost people that aren't with us, that we would love. I mean, I've lost my mom and dad in the last couple of years, and it's just, you really feel that, and you miss them. There's that kind of loss, that kind of thing that you're trying to fill in your heart. There's other kinds of hurts, though, too, family stuff. There could be family rejection things and family stuff and, you know, complicated stuff and all that, that this time of year can stir up. It can be a Grinch that can steal this joy of Christmas. But you know what's here in this time of Christmas? God with us. Emmanuel. Presence. There's a presence of Christmas that isn't trying to theologically even try to solve all your hurts. But he's with you. And to recognize that this time of year, whether you're just taking in a nativity scene or whether you're at a kids program or whether you'll find this common denominator of the joy and the love of Jesus and the presence of Christmas. Let that presence minister to you. Just let that presence. No big expectations. You just have the freedom to love God and just let that presence of Christmas heal you and comfort you. There's nothing quite like the comfort of presence. And that's what Christmas does. There's a presence of the I love you from God that's just all over this time of year. Don't be too spiritual. Be real simple. Say, praise God, praise God, praise God. Even if it's coming from people, you know, they aren't even believers, but they're decorating it. Just praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your presence. And again, have many moments this year where you're privately saying, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm enjoying your presence this year. I'm enjoying the message of your love. Lord, it's coming in loud and clear. I've made room. Prepare my heart to make room. Room for that forgiveness. Room for your peace. Room for your presence. And ultimately, what is the hope? Where is this leading? It's leading what Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, the ultimate promise and the joy of that little baby in the manger does not stop at the forgiveness of sins. It's the promise of that where he is, you may be also. That's the fulfillment. I remember being in that nursing home room with my siblings when we were around my mom and praying for her. The nurse came out to the hallway and said, "It's time. She's passing." And we ran in there. And as we were just praying, just to be with her so she could sense her children as she was passing, and just committing her spirit to the Lord, to say, "Father, we just commit mom into your hands right now." And experiencing that, one of the first thoughts that came to my mind was this: that he goes to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. And I thought, wow, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm so glad my mom's a Christian. This is the whole point of the cross. It's not to start up a religion on the earth. If eternal life is only as long as the life of these mortal bodies, then it's not eternal life. The whole point of eternal life is that it lives past these bodies. The whole point of Christmas is the fact God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes that would one day die on a cross for our sins, that whoever believes on him would not perish but have the gift of eternal life. That's the hope of Christmas, is that our life is beyond these mortal bodies. Here's the great day that's coming. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as at those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, or who have went to be with Jesus. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There's coming a family reunion when heaven and earth, Jesus is going to bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That's pretty profound, verse 14. Jesus is going to bring with him. Well, where are they? They're in heaven right now with Jesus, where he is, at the right hand of the Father. He's going to bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Then we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with him. They're coming back to receive a glorified body. It's going to be a shared experience. And then we by no means precede those who are asleep. And then we who are alive will remain. We shall be caught up together with them. You're going to be caught up to, if you're alive and remaining at the time of this rapture event, you're going to be caught up with the Apostle Paul. You'll be caught up with everybody who ever went before. This is a family event. And it says you'll meet together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We'll always be together with the Lord. That is the ultimate promise of Christmas, that we're going to be there. Stephen Curtis Chapman, the guy who experienced that tremendous loss, actually wrote a song about God with us. And ironically, he wrote this before the tragedy they had with their little girl, but it's very profound. It goes like this: one of us is crying as our hopes and dreams are led away in chains and we're left all alone. One of us is dying as our love is slowly lowered in the grave. Oh, and we're left all alone. But for all of us who journey through the dark abyss of loneliness, there comes a great announcement. We are never alone. For the maker of each heart that breaks, the giver of each breath we take, has come to earth and given hope its birth. And our God is with us, Emmanuel. He's come to save us, Emmanuel. And we will never face life alone, now that God has made himself known as Father and friend with us through the end, Emmanuel. He spoke with the prophets' voices and showed himself in a cloud of fire, but no one had seen his face until the one most holy revealed to us his perfect heart's desire and left his rightful place. In one glorious moment, all eternity was shaken as God broke through the darkness that had kept us apart. And with love that conquers loneliness, hope that fills all emptiness, he came to earth to show our worth. And our God is with us, Emmanuel. And he came to save us. Emmanuel will never face life alone now that God has made himself known as Father and friend with us through the end. Emmanuel. So rejoice. Don't let the Grinch steal your Christmas this year. Make Christmas about your Savior and not your sin. Ah, he died for everything you ever did wrong. Don't let this be a time of regret. If there's anything you find yourself living on top of and wishing shoulda, coulda, woulda, regret, man, on purpose, say no. That's the point of Christmas. He came to save us from our sins, and that includes my sins. And I'm going to on purpose rejoice and thank my Lord that I'm forgiven and cleansed. No condemnation, Christmas. Make Christmas about his peace, not your anxiety. Again, man, he is the Prince of Peace. He has that supernatural ability to give you a peace that passes your understanding. But again, just begin to see it. Appreciate thanksgiving, thinking on those things that are true, honest, just. If questions come up, man, just offer it up. It doesn't have to be a long, dragged-out thing. Just, Lord, show me what to do about that. Boy, God loves to answer five-second prayers. Loves them. Jesus gave an example of a Pharisee who went up to pray and a publican who went up to pray. The Pharisee had kind of this long, elaborate prayer. Publican just said, God, forgive me, sinner. I mean, it was like five words. He said, that guy went home justified. You know, in some of our prayers, we got to be careful not to get all dragged out religion. Just simple. God help me at that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now I'm going to listen to some really good music. True, honest, just, pure, lovely. It's the most spiritual thing you can do. You know? This is from growing up spiritually, man. You got to come back to these points. It's almost like your first love. You know what I mean? When you didn't even know better and you don't have all that knowledge sometime to get in your way. It's just simple. Just, okay, God, help me. And there's a lot of peace in that. Ah. And then finally, just the ministry of his presence. Let his presence minister to you. There's the presence of Christmas. His presence is in that. What did he say? When anybody gathers together in my name, I'm there. I'm in that midst. When his name is being acknowledged, and there's just something there in the midst there, what people call the magic time of the year, all that, we know when he's acknowledged, he inhabits that. He's there. His presence is there. Just recognize it and just let that presence minister. Yeah, we got a lot of hurtful things, a lot of things, family stuff, lost stuff, rejection stuff, things complicated. That presence, I like what Stephen Curtis Jackman said, man, that presence can minister healing in a deep parts of my heart that the most cleverest, wittiest words of comfort ever could. Let that presence of Christmas minister to those hurts this year. Amen. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, this is going to be a good Christmas. 2017. No condemnation. I receive. I prepare room in my heart for you, for your forgiveness. It's the point of this season. You came to save us from our sins, and you did it, and we celebrate it. I'm forgiven, cleansed, because you so loved us. And Lord Jesus, I look to your peace. It passes my understanding. I make my request known to you, and then I get my heart and I get my mind on the glory of Christmas, the things that are true and honest and just, pure and lovely, good report. I celebrate the nativity scenes because they point to you. I celebrate the carols because they point to you. I soak in this season because it points to you. You are Emmanuel, God with us. I open my heart and I make room for your presence to heal me, to comfort me, your precious presence in this wonderful season. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.